I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Blizzard Watch, the podcast where we watch Blizzard Entertainment and its mini games in as non-creepy a way as we can, which is pretty non-creepy. I'm not even near them.
Speak for yourself. I'm in a bush. I'm in a bush right now. Well, I got a trench coat going. It's
Joe.
Sorry.
You live in Buffalo, my friend.
It's true. I do.
I mean, right. Anyway, guys. now that Joe has introduced himself in a trench coated manner, we'll just move straight on into talking about the big news of today. If you are listening to us live, then you will know that the most recent patch for World of Warcraft, patch 9.0.1, the Shadowlands pre-expansion patch, has dropped. And if you are listening to us recorded, well, it has dropped, but it's the future, so it had dropped a couple days ago. Either way, however, it comes with a lot of changes. I believe, Joe, you on Twitter described it as the most changes World of Warcraft has seen since Cataclysm, yeah. And I must agree with you. If not, actually think maybe more changes than even Cataclysm.
Cataclysm at the time was probably the largest change that the game had ever gone through, right? It's one of those things where the entire world shifted, things changed, phasing was really a thing. That was the first time it really hit any sort of like major push into the game world. Like we had phasing in certain things in like Northrend and Wrath of the Lich King, but not nearly like Cataclysm did. Cataclysm, you made extensive use of it. Character models were updated, new character class race combinations were introduced, finally giving us things like dwarf mages, which were supposed to be in the original game, and are actually, if you go back to the original vanilla box game and look at the manual, because games came with actual thick manuals back then, you would see it as one of the class race combinations that it was promised, but they just never put in the game until then. Cataclysm was massive, and it was a massive overhaul of the game, and it took several days for everything to settle down for that. Now, with this, this is the largest change this game has ever seen. Between the character squish across the board, the changes to the leveling system across the board, the way that the world itself has had to shift, the new starting experience for players, everything else that's in this game, not to mention the character customization, the upgraded models that are still being introduced in this, which Matt is, if you know, you're watching us live right now, you can see his brand new dead-eyed Night Elf with, you know, bare fists, because that's a thing he can do now. This is massive. And one of the other things I said on Twitter earlier today, and if you are listening to us after this goes live, whether it is, you know, you're a Patreon supporter and you're getting this early, or you're catching this when it goes live for the general public, if things aren't working perfectly for you, I implore you, be chill, give it time. The people that are working on this behind the scenes, the server teams, the fact that the servers are not on fire right now with the sheer volume of players returning to this game on top of everything else that just got pushed live. If you've ever worked in IT, if you've ever worked in servers or software management or anything of those, anything of that nature, you have a small idea of how much hell they're going through right now.
And they're doing it during a pandemic.
So
I will also say, one thing I'm going to say here, I started trying to log on when the service went up, and I had an hour straight of not being able to log on. So if you are trying to log on, be patient. Maybe go, you know, I kind of had this show about to happen, so I couldn't really just walk away and come back and hope I got in. But if you can, go do something else for a couple hours. Give yourself and give the game time to let people on, to balance out the demand. A lot of people are going to the barbershop right now.
Yep.
So these are all things to keep in mind. Major cities got that happening. There's a ton happening.
Some pro tips, though. If you are going to go into the game and you can get into the game and you want to go to a barbershop, try to find some of the areas that are a little bit more out of the way. You know, the Nether, don't forget, like, Netherstorm has a barbershop. Nobody goes to Netherstorm anymore. Try to avoid like Orgrimmar and Stormwind if you can. If you're worried any bit about lag or how the system is going to chug with all of that too, you can find other places to go that have these options for you, for particularly like the barbershop, which I'm sure is what people have been waiting for the most. So don't just limit yourself to the major cities if you can. Just a little pro tip.
Yeah, I would absolutely say that. Like, I mean, of course, I'm currently in Stormwind because, you know, I'm that person.
You're kind of on the outskirts of Stormwind.
But I did go to the barbershop, dude. You think I went to the barbershop someplace else?
Yes, but you're a madman.
We've established this. We were both not very, very well. I'm actually – one of the things I'm super excited about is older playstyles coming back. Like, as you can see here, I'm using two-fist weapons. This isn't just for cosmetic purposes like it would have been a week ago. This is literally what my current loadout is designed around. It's designed around punching things. That is what I will be doing in combat. If you look at my character sheet, you will see I got a sword and a fist weapon equipped. Like, I got a fist weapon, and that's why I'm using. I'm literally about as designed for combat with, you know, one-handed weapons as one can be. As to why I decided to use a fist weapon, purely just because I could. But that's the thing. A lot of classes are getting stuff like that back. Death Knights, for instance, your Frost DK can use a two-hander again. Monks, I believe they made some changes to monk stuff as well, although, to be honest, I don't know what changes they made to monks because I haven't played my monk in a very long time. There's a ton of stuff like that getting changed to bring back things people were interested in, which I'm very happy about. A lot of the way it was described was the ability depruning, where a lot of abilities were made. It wasn't just that abilities were brought back. A lot of abilities were made cross class. One of the abilities I should have on this character, it's probably not on my bars at the moment because I have not, but there it is. Ignore pain on my Fury Warrior. That's not an ability I've been using very much on this Fury Warrior, as you might understand, because I have not had it until today.
And when you say cross class, you mean cross spec for those of you at home.
Yes, it's across the class. There's Intervene, another ability that I did not have that I now have. I'll put that right there. I do have flooded bars, and I admit that.
But this is one of the things I was most excited about with Shadowlands in general, and the fact that, like, we talked about this about a month ago, 2 months ago, when I first got into the beta. Like, you're getting these utility spells and abilities to the class again back that let you do some really heroic and weird things again. And it's bringing back a flavor or style to the game that I didn't realize I was missing until right then.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much a case where some of these, like, a lot of these abilities beforehand, I'm using the warrior because that's what I've got here in front of me. But for instance, spell reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Spell reflection is not an ability I used a lot because, again, it wasn't something that I could use except on my prop warrior. So I used it on my prop warrior. But now I have access to it and can use it whenever I want to, basically. And that's kind of amazing. I mean, the survivability for this class just went way up. Then they even brought back an ability like Shattering Throw. Remember Shattering Throw?
I do, actually.
it's back. And now if somebody's wearing a bubble, you hit them with this thing, it does 500% extra damage and it pops the bubble. So if someone's going to absorb shield going, yep. you can mess them up. And there's just a lot to this that I'm really fascinated to see how it actually plays out as people go about, you know, rediscovering their characters. There's a lot of changes. When you log on, your talents are refunded because they have changed pretty much every talent tree.
Yeah.
Partially because, like I said, some abilities are now across the entire class. Every spec has them. One of the cool things about that is, by the way, if you want to tank on a warrior and you don't necessarily want to be prod, you can at least attempt it. Or you can try the thing that used to be able to do all the time where you could, the tank just went down. You could slap on your shield really fast and hit the taunt button. That's something you can actually do now that you've got ignore pain and you've got shield slam. You know, these are things that, you know, any warrior can do. So there's a lot to it. I am really excited about it. I'm going to try and let Joe talk about Shaman a bit. And then maybe we can like just talk about some other stuff. I know there's lots of other classes, guys. I'm sorry. I don't play all of them. And I'm not that talented in a lot of them. Like, I could talk about Paladins if you want, but it's going to be, I'm not good with Holy Power, so I kind of mess up a lot.
And I don't play a whole lot of other classes. Like, I play Hunters, really, and Shaman, and that's pretty much the two that I feel the most comfortable with. I dabble with the other ones. But for Shaman, like, some of the things that I'm really excited about, and I've gushed about this before, simple things like Mana Tide Totem being back. That's massive. It's something I've wanted forever. It only affects your regeneration, but that's really, really good. Having a tool as a healer that you can plop down and you know, give yourself a little bit of boost outside of just potions. Yes, please. Mana Shield. So basically, or Water Shield. You get your little floaty orbs of watery goodness again. It's starting to feel like the class of old a little bit. Not perfectly, but it's nice seeing some of these older abilities coming back, at least for me as a primarily restoration shaman. The other thing that I'm super, super excited for is hunters get the increased taming capability now. So if you are a hunter, like my main character or secondary character, what I'm going to do as I'm first thing after this podcast is done, I'm going to go tame Elegon. Because you can go tame Elegon now. You get so much more in the way of options and variety as far as taming creatures. It's feeling a little bit more like being a hunter. Because it's like, I want that animal. It's my companion now. I'm okay with that. I'm trying to figure out how to put it into words. It almost feels like capturing that magic feeling a little bit that I felt back during the early days of WoW and Burning Crusade, where like there's this, here's everything, figure out how you want to play. And I kind of miss that. So I'm happy that they're doing that. The deep pruning is real. So, but yeah.
Yeah. I was actually in the barbershop. So if people wanted to see the UI, they could. One of the things that I don't know how to put this because it's not as easy as saying, well, they've brought back the class of old. They haven't brought back the class of old in the case of warriors. And I am thankful for it because we were way too limited. But there's a lot of, I've played through my Death Knight a little bit. I've messed around with that. I've played with my Paladin. What I like is that classes feel like classes again.
Yeah.
Like there's stuff that you will always have. Yes. Being arms is different than being fury. And being arms or fury is different than being prod. But there's a lot of the same basic tools. And I like that. I like that the classes feel united in that fashion. My Death Knight feels like a Death Knight. Not Frost and Blood don't feel like different classes anymore. And that's nice. I like that about it. I'm glad that they've made the decision to make the design feel united in that way. I'm not sure how it's going to play out for every class, and because I can't tell you. I do have that level 50 boost I could pop off, and I could always, you know, say, okay, I'll create a mage and see how that works. I mean, I'm not going to, come on, but I could. I could try that. I don't know. Maybe I should give mages another shot just because I've been terrible at every mage I've ever played.
I liked mages. I'm not even going to front. I legitimately enjoyed mage in Battle for Azeroth. I was very happy when our lovely listeners at home encouraged me very, very strongly to try one again. And I did. And it was a lot of fun. It wasn't that horrible, squishy, like, I'm going to get pasted feeling that I was so used to. I felt like I had options. And now it seems like that's even more true with everything that they de-pruned. So, I honestly, Matt, give it a shot again. What's the worst that happens? You don't like it and you stop playing a mage?
Yeah, well, I mean, but the thing is, then my 50 boost is wasted. So I should maybe try and level it probably. Yeah. Instead.
Why not?
I mean, that's a good segue into the leveling experience in Shadowlands. Actually, one of the things they've done is from 1 to 10, you now can, especially if you're a new time player, but in the case of most people listening to this, you've been playing for a while. You have a choice between leveling in your original starting zone or going to Exile's Rest. Exile's Rest is a 1 to 10 tutorial level. It's Exile's Reach. Thank you. It's a 1 to 10 leveling experience, and it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one of the best tutorials I've seen in an MMO.
I agree. I 100% really agree. Good.
It's not perfect. Like, I think to a certain degree that there's a, it is very much a tutorial zone. You feel like you are tutorial things.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You are. That's fine. And there's one difference that comes to mind, having done it in both Horde and Alliance. You come to a certain point where there's a quest to do something. And the Alliance quest is to do it, and you basically do it the way it's intended. The Horde quest is, it's basically based around Goblin versus Gnome Engineering. The Goblin Engineering tends to be more along the lines of, well, we were going to use this thing one way, but it broke, and now it's turned into a death ray instead, so we're just going to use it as a death ray. That's fine. Yeah, we'll just go overhead. We were going to rampage through like with a giant boar, but it just blows everything we use it on up. So just blow everybody up with it then. And it's funny, and it's very evocative of the difference between Goblin and Gnome Engineering, whereas the Gnome Engineering works properly and the Goblin mm-hmm. Engineering really doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, it was one of the things that made it worth doing again, just on a Horde side, to see it. Because there's nothing quite like hanging from like a flying claw machine, shooting everybody with a growth ray that does not work properly. it's a fun time. I don't think that's too much of a spoiler for you that one quest is like that. Otherwise, they're pretty similar experiences. There's not a ton of variety between them, which is fine. But they're very well done. There's even a dungeon tutorial, and the NPCs in the dungeon are not very good at their jobs,
which is great. It is fantastic. Yeah. Because that is as close to an authentic experience as I can say that prepares, you know, players for what dungeons can potentially be like. Because I remember my early days in Dungeoneering and nobody had any clue how anything worked, and it was bad. Just standing in bad. I mean, like, it was
bad. Like, the NPCs will literally run ahead. They don't, like, wait for you. You know, you're trying to, like, it's like, oh, my word. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But Exile's Reach is good. But once you get through Exile's Reach or the other experience, you get to level 10. When you hit level 10... you can head. The Exile's Reach takes you to Stormwind or Orgrimmar. I don't know if you can do this at other cities. I think maybe you have to go to Stormwind or Orgrimmar. But you basically get the choice. Like, how do you want to level from 10 to 50? Do you want to do it in original Azeroth, which is Cataclysm Azeroth? You can, and you will never have to leave.
Yep.
Cataclysm Azeroth. Or you can go and you can do any one of the other expansions. You want to run BC? Yeah, you can. Wrath, absolutely. Cataclysm itself, the end game of Cataclysm, yep, you can do that. Mists of Pandaria, totally. You can't do Warlords for some reason. That's not true. You can do Warlords. My brain won't let me. I'm sorry. I did a lot of Warlords, and for some reason, I can't do Shadowmoon again because it emotionally breaks me, and I can't do Frostfire Ridge because it also emotionally breaks me, and I refuse to care about that orc, but I do every time.
Every time.
He's like such a—he's a jerk for so long, and then he finally pulls it out at the end. It's like, no, I don't want to like you. But yeah, you can do Legion. You can do like you can, and you know, you can do if you don't choose, they'll basically send you to Battle for Azeroth, and you'll level from 10 to 50 in Battle for Azeroth zones, and you will level fast compared to previous expansions. The leveling here is like, I think it's like 5-6 days if you're not pushing particularly hard to get to 50.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, you are going to be getting to max level relatively quickly. The goal is if you want to go and explore older content, you absolutely can, or you can just get to level 50 as fast as possible. And it does not take a lot of time. People who are like super speed leveling types have been doing it in like a day or a few hours, but if you actually stop and pay a little attention, it can still take you. It doesn't take you very long. It's a few days. I personally am so far cautiously pleased with it. I haven't tried every expansion, so I don't know how the scaling is. I've heard that some of the scaling for some of the older expansions is kind of wonky.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. I've heard, and as Molly has pointed out in chat, and it is not the first time I've heard it, is that Warlords is the fastest.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, but it's Warlords.
I don't mind Warlords.
I don't mind Warlords. Actually, I love the leveling in Warlords. You know that I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I did a lot of Warlords. So if there's expansions I have not done in a long time, really. I mean, I've done very little of Cataclysm content. So I might go do that on my first character through. I haven't decided. I haven't even like thought about leveling anybody to 50 like right now. I have my Hunter I want to get up. My Hunter's pretty close, though. So...
Yeah, I think everything that I really want to play right now is max level, so I don't really have to worry about anything aside from maybe if I want to roll something else. But I spent such a time with that XP boost, just leveling everything. I probably am going to roll something else. I just don't know what I'm going to roll yet.
I mean,
so at max level right now, I have Paladin, Hunter, Druid, Shaman, of course, Warrior, Mage, and Priest? No, my priest. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll level my priest. I don't think I have my priest at max level yet.
Yeah, I have right now of characters I have within reach of max level are my shaman, my hunter, and like several other warriors because, you know, that's me. I have 3 warriors at max level right now and the death knight and the paladin. So I'm doing okay for max level characters. I don't have anybody who doesn't wear plate at max level for the very simple fact that they would be useless to me as transmog farmers. Because that's what I focus on. So, but yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else we should talk about before we go on to doing some emails and stuff. There's a lot, but it's just like, it's all kind of hitting me at once. I will mention really fast. In addition, Joe mentioned that the hunters can go and tame like cloud serpents and stuff. If you are an undead hunter, and I wrote a post about this today. So if you're an undead hunter right now, you're a Forsaken who's playing hunter, you get a head start in one area. There's undead tames coming in Shadowlands. There's a book that drops that teaches players how to tame various undead creatures. If you are undead, you can do it now without the book.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've always wanted to have Gluth as a pet,
you can go do it.
Go ahead, go to Nax and tame him. There's multiple skeletal devil sores in BFA zones. You can tame them. I don't think you can tame Razan in the dungeon. I think you have to actually be level 51 to tame dungeon stuff.
Yes, right now, so because that's always been the case. You always have to be at a higher level than what you're taming or equal level, but because he's 50 plus.
He's a rare, so I think he counts as higher level.
Yeah.
But anything that's not in a dungeon, you can pretty much tame. Elegon's tameable because Elegon is from a raid from like 3 expansions ago. So you can tame him. But you can't... Stuff that's from the, you know, currently max level's 50 and that's the level of the various dungeons. Any of that stuff, you have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, still there's a ton of undead mobs. There's a ton of undead devil swords. There's undead hounds, like I mentioned, Gluth. There's like Princess and I forget the other one from Icecrown Citadel. You can tame them. There's Stinky. A ghost one. There's a void. There's a, I think it's called a void hound. Not sure, but it's like a red ghostly version of Gluth. and you can tame it, except you can't tame it yet because you can't get the book. It's only tameable by blood elves.
Interesting.
Because only it's because this thing, the mob only spawns in the blood elf heritage armor zones. When you go into the Sunwell for the blood elf heritage armor, that's the only place that you can get it. So you could theoretically, if you had a hunter who was a blood elf, you could go tame the pet, except you can't get the book to do it. But once the book is available, when Shadowlands is actually out, you could go tame it. And then you could race change if you wanted to have that pet on a different hunter. But that's the only way to get it. So that's one mob that I know you can only get if you're a blood elf, because it spawns just inside that, the Blood Elf Heritage Armor quest, with the alternate version of the Sunwell that you get for that. Which, I mean, Blood Elves can't currently tame it. Undead can, and you don't have a way in there unless you're Blood Elf. So yeah, it's unfortunate, but there are still a ton of them that you can tame. There's, I believe the options are Devilsaurs, Raptors, Birds of Prey, Wind Serpents, and Hounds are the ones that there's undead versions of them that you can tame. Bendak, you guys remember Bendak? He wrote a thing for Unwowhead about it, so you can go there and you can look at all the various options. It's a pretty big list. I mean, even with stuff that you can't tame yet, that's because you have to be level 51 or whatever. So there's a few that are like that. I think anything inside of a dungeon is like that, but there's still quite a bit that you can find in the world. There's some world quest mobs that you can tame. There's a lot, and I think it's really cool. I don't play an undead hunter, but I honestly have thought about it because, yeah, big skeletal dragon, a dinosaur following you around, that's pretty awesome.
That is pretty nifty.
But, yeah, there's probably other weird little things like that happening right now. Like, I know that as hunters in general, there's more pet families to tame. Joe mentioned that. So, yeah, there's a lot you can do. I am honestly really excited about this expansion, this patch. I will point out that we don't know when this is going to end. Like right now, we don't know when the pre-patch will become the patch. We don't know when Shadowlands will drop. They made an announcement, I want to say last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, that they don't know when Shadowlands is coming out. It's been delayed and they don't have a firm date set. I am fine with this. This is not me complaining about it, but I just want you to be aware of it. You may be playing this for a while, mm-hmm. so you may want to pace yourself. I don't think, as far as I can tell, I didn't get a quest when I logged in to go do anything special, but people are saying that there's a quest and I've missed it, which is fine. I wasn't really paying attention. I know that there's a cinematic, and we're not going to talk about it now, but there is a cinematic in game that kind of leads into what's going on with what we've seen. We already knew about the Shadowlands, full cinematic. There's a game rendered one that shows you the direct aftermath of what happens. So that's more of a lore watch combo, though, I think. Yeah, would you agree, Joe?
I would agree. That's probably something we can talk about in this coming week's lore watch. However, we do have something from chat. This is a request from Padilla, who says that they hope that they didn't miss you talking about dual wielding flails yet.
I don't know if you've missed it so much as I. You can do that if you have the flail attachment on your artifact weapon. I don't think I do, because really? I didn't play Prot very much. I didn't play Prot all that much in Legion, and I'm pretty sure the flail was just was a rare thing. However, I can go look. Hold on one sec.
We have the technology. We can do it. We can rebuild the flails, make them stronger. Kinda, maybe, sorta. There should be more flails in the game. There absolutely should be. Yeah, see, Matt, currently for those at home, I know this is riveting, Matt's going through his collection right now, just double checking to see if he actually has it or not. But it should be under artifacts, right?
No. They put the artifact stuff in the game. If artifacts will just show me Fury artifacts right now, because I'm Fury.
Fury spec, but, yeah.
But I can look and basically find, my Legion artifacts should be here if I have them. I think I should at least be able to find the axe. I've already moved past Legion stuff, though, so I don't think I have the flails, or they don't count as... they might not count as maces. They might count as axes.
Really?
Yeah, because... Or swords. In fact, they might count as swords, because the artifact has them as a sword.
Oh, yeah, maybe. That would make sense. Using a logic. I honestly hope we get models of more flails moving in the future. Like, please, Blizzard. I think that'd be real cool.
I do actually have scale shards. It doesn't look like a flail. It's just a mace. So I may not have the flail. Yeah, I've got scale shard here, but it's not a mace. It's not a flail. I've got the mace and the axe and the sword versions of scale shard here. But I didn't, like I said, I did not play Prot very much in Legion, so I did not actually get all the possible scale shard looks. So, sorry, Fidia. never was all that interested in the flail, to be honest with you.
I think that's going to be a sad face from Fidia.
But as you can see here, I can actually transmog both of my fist weapons to the scale shard axe if I wanted to. Even though, you know, scale shard is the shield. It's the weapon that goes with the shield. So you can actually do that if you have the flail appearance, which I do not have. You could definitely transmog both of them in that fashion.
And I think that's pretty neat. I actually need to play around with that too to see. That might be something to play around with loader to figure out what I'm going to do for shield and weapon combo at this point.
But what's interesting too, actually, guys, I'll show you this.
Oh, while you're waiting for that, can we also talk about how corruption's gone?
Yeah, corruption's gone. In fact, if you want to look, I've got some corruption gear on. You can see that the corruption is just not active. It just grayed out.
Yeah, not that I had anything against corruption as a system. I'm super excited about it not being a factor anymore because I felt that it was really weird to try to kit out your character while it was in effect. So it not being there anymore is really like, it's relieving to me, if that makes any sort of sense. So like last night I equipped a shield on my shaman for the first time in 2 raid tiers because I didn't have to worry about corruption. And I was just yeah.
Now, if you notice here, I have got the various kinds of Stromkar available to transmog while I'm in Fury. And as a result of that, I can actually transmog both of my swords that I'm carrying because I went up to Titan's Grip. I can transmog both of my swords to the Arms Warrior appearance.
Nice. Very, very nice.
As you see right here, I've got the Arms Warrior appearance on both of my weapons.
Yeah, warriors have such cool weapons.
And I could theoretically go and do the even more complicated transmog, which will require me to go to Arms, so Joe's going to have to talk again for a bit.
Well, I mean, we can also talk about other things besides transmog. We've been talking about that for a while now.
No. Sorry.
Well, welcome to Transmog Watch. Transmog, the real end game.
This will be it, and I will shut up after this. But you'll see, since I now have, I can also transmog the various Fury Warrior artifacts, which are two-handed weapons that you do wield, I can transmog just one of them. So I can have, for instance, the various War Swords of the Valajar as a one-handed weapon. So I could use the axe, which is a very cool axe. It looks kind of like Gorhel. I could transmog to that. So I can do that right now. I'm blowing through a lot of money. I don't have a ton of money, and I'm blowing through all of it, but I don't care. At this point, guys, I will stop doing this because I'm sure it's riveting for people listening to it recording.
I was going to say, but the written recording, we have questions we can get to, too.
Yeah. But as you can see, as an Arms Warrior, I can be using one of the two weapons as a one-handed weapon. And you get to see a little bit of that flail action because there's, like, you know, bones that actually hang off the bottom of this thing that move around when you move around with it. So that's pretty cool. At any rate, that is also in the game. The various artifact transmogs are now available without having to be in the spec that you normally need to use it.
But
we're going to move on to some questions now. As Joe pointed out, we do have questions to answer. If you have a question for the show, please either email it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show and not Lore Watch, or you can ask us on the podcast on the queue. Podcast and queue questions. Oh, I'm totally missing those. Patron Q and podcast questions channel. Wow, that was terrible today.
It's hard to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, or you can ask us on our Q questions channel, which is not for patrons only. We will look in both of those as we have been for the past few shows. But Joe's going to read them to us now. So if you don't mind, Joe.
Absolutely. So First one, hi, Watchers. So we are all going to be mellowing out at level 50 for a while. What are you going to be doing until the Scourge Invasion? All heroics and raids from vanilla through BFA are going to be max level for a little while. I know it's going to bust it in an imbalance, but hitting content at max level in a max level group might be fun. ICC anyone? MC with a full 40? Or just a mythic 5-man? The formatting on this is weird. Is this from Easy Target?
I believe so.
Yeah. So working on a decent D&D question, Easy Target. I'm probably just going to be trying to level some alts up a little bit and maybe just sort of taking a relaxing time before everything starts really kicking off. That's me personally. Well, I think my guild and Molly is currently in chat and she can keep me honest. I think we were talking about maybe trying to do mythics again. Or as we call them, our mythic pluses, Bidoofs. Don't know how that's going to work out, if we're going to still do that or how everybody's feeling about it. But I think I'm just going to be kind of hanging out with the my guild, kind of taking it easy and getting ready for Shadowlands release. What about you, Matt?
Honestly, I don't know that it's actually the case that all raids are going to scale up. In fact,
I don't think that is.
So, since I'm relatively close, I'm going to actually point myself at a raid and see about going to find out about that. I'm trying to think of which would be the... Actually, Karazhan would be, because I'm in Dustwood, so I'll head to Karazhan. But, yeah, while I'm thinking about that, because it's an interesting... I know I'm going to... Like I said, I think Joe is right about the leveling some alts. I'm definitely considering doing that. But as to other things, I don't really know. I like to just mess around. I mean, it's one of the things I like about this particular point of the game is you can just mess around for a bit.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like you have this... It's not often in this game, especially recently in the last couple expansions where they've put everything in with all these things to keep us busy at max level. I call them wizard chores. But it's not often you get a lull. It's not often you get this thing where there is no immediate pressure to do anything. And I think that's one of the cool bits about it, that the event's not kicking off. This is the get used to things period again. And I'm all for that. I think that's really, really good.
You know, he might be right, because the demons outside Karazhan are level 45.
Outside the world scales to your current level, though.
Yeah, well, let's find out if Karazhan does.
But Spenbeard in chat says that ICC today was scaled to 35.
Well, I just ran into Kara, and...
But isn't Kara not a raid anymore?
Kara's still a raid, but he's a level 31 elites.
Yep, there you go. Okay.
The Karazhan 10-player instance locks are scheduled to expire in 6 days. Let's see how well I do killing these things.
Autoluke in chat's asking if the It Came From a Blog guild is still a thing. I don't think we've maintained it in a long time. I don't think we've really done an in-game community for a bit now. It's pretty time-consuming, to say the very least, not just because, you know, it's running a guild, but also, there are a lot of y'all.
It was also associated with a website that's no longer out there.
No longer begins to us, right?
So. I know full well I'm the guild master, so I know that I could theoretically log over and do... Actually, I don't know if it was me or if it was Mike. Somebody was the guild master.
I think it was Mike.
Yeah.
99% sure. But yeah,
I just did that, and let's see, plate. It's this is Karazhan. It's nothing tremendously challenging, but died and you dropped two things.
Yeah, so the content, the raids should be scaled to the zone or expansion that they should theoretically be slotted into.
Yeah, this is definitely not an expansion that is scaled to me. Whether or not, you know, the stuff outside was level 40 something.
But I think the real challenge is going to be figuring out what, with the new abilities and Squish and everything else, how soloing those raids is going to be, because I think that's going to shift a little bit.
I'm sure there are harder raids to do.
Yeah.
I'm actually thinking about trying to do some Legion ones at some point. But at any rate, we do know now, the definitive answer to that part of it is that the raids don't all scale to level 50. So you can... you can still go solo, at least some of them, and you can't just use them as, you know, end game stuff for your, you know, if your guild decides to want, it wants to go run Thomas Tomb of Sargeras, I don't know how hard it will be for them to do, but it's at least the intent was to not make it much harder to solo. I don't know how well they've worked that out.
But we can experiment and find out.
Yeah, but as for me, I think I'm just going to, like I said, I'm going to mess around. I might do some transmog farming because, you know, it's me. But in general, I'm not super thinking about what I'm going to do. I'm just going to play around.
I probably will also spend some time on my hunter taming some pets. I have to go get Elegon still after all. All right, our next question. Hey there, observers of all things involving severe snowstorms with high winds. Moment aside, I appreciate that when you guys come up with different ways to say Blizzard Watch. I really do. I like that. I was watching a trailer for an old MMO involving a warrior fighting off some skeletons. The warrior in question defeated the skeleton by stabbing it through its empty ribcage. And as it recoiled in pain, he kicked it off a cliff. I found it quite absurd, but then it made me think, how do you actually canonically kill an undead character in Warcraft lore? Sorry if this question seems obvious, but if they're already dead, how does one actually go about ending one? Stay awesome, fellas. Mantra Sun, human paladin. I think the answer is usually kill it with fire.
Do enough damage to it so that it falls apart. One of the things about undead in World of Warcraft is that they are
still decaying.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's one of the reasons we talked about this on Lore Watch recently, that they're rotting, like, mm-hmm. they're falling apart, and they're a lot of undead. The reason that undead are sometimes missing jaws or have stuff staple to them is because they're actually being maintained by, like, reattaching parts to them. Sometimes not even their original parts.
I make the joke comparing it to, like, Death Becomes Her, the movie, but it really is that. Like, it's this, you are, any trauma or damage you cause to the body is going to cause a lasting degradation to the whole. So yeah, like, deal enough trauma to it and it will just stop being a thing. That's pretty much all you have to do.
Yeah, but I mean, your point is valid about, you know, stabbing a skeleton through the quote unquote heart shouldn't do much because, you know, they don't have one. That's a fair point. But the flip side of that is you're using a sword the size of a boat, so jamming that through something's chest will probably break quite a few bones.
Yeah.
That's how rib cages work. Their cage is made of bone. So, yeah.
I'm in a rib cage of emotion! Yeah. But yes. All right.
There's a lot. World of Warcraft, man. I mean, it's look at the swords I've got on my back right now.
So we talk about it a lot, but it's an old trope. If you look at some of the old, like, tabletop fantasy RPG books, you'll see, like, the whole classic skeleton thing with adventurers fighting it. And, like, they try to do the thing where, oh, they're resistant to slashing damage because they don't have meat on their bones. But even then, it was like, yeah, it's a ridiculous premise. Suspend some disbelief. Maybe they got some Invisible Man magic organs that they got hit with. You never know. It's entirely possible. Our next question comes from Tando from Cenarion Circle. Question for Blizzard Watch. With the continuous reporting of Activision taking over more of Blizzard, it makes me nervous that Blizzard of old is at an end of its life. What are your opinions regarding the future of Blizzard games? Separately, what are your opinions regarding Dreamhaven? Thanks, Tando.
I mean, I don't have an opinion about Dreamhaven yet because they haven't done anything yet. But, I mean, if you have enough old ex-Blizzard employees in one place, it does feel a lot like it's Blizzard. I mean, it's kind of hard to argue that. I've been hearing that Blizzard has lost its way and that Activision has taken over and that they're a different company now since 2012?
Yeah, give or take.
I mean, Blizzard has been in the constant process of changing this whole time. It isn't the Blizzard of old, and it hasn't been the Blizzard of old since, like, this game has, during this game's lifespan, it has changed radically. The company has changed. This game has changed. Other games have changed. Blizzard has seen people come and go, and it will continue to see people come and go until it isn't a company anymore. I've met a lot of people there I liked. Some of them don't work there anymore. Some of them still do. There's been a lot of people who I've always got time to listen to how they describe stuff. Like when Greg Street left,
mm-hmm.
I remember thinking this is a big deal, and it was a big deal. And it's always a big deal when somebody who is formative or has a direct influence on the games you play leaves, those games change, or, you know, it's just the nature of things.
Yeah.
Same time, Ian Hazzacostas is still working there, and I will always be here to listen to what Ian Hazzacostas has to say. I feel like I've stepped on Joe there. I just wanted to throw that out. So go ahead.
You're hitting on exactly what I was going to say, is that change is inevitable, and it's sort of like the whole cliche thing to say, but the longer something stays in existence, the longer it is to become something different than when it started. And we often look at those things with rose-tinted lenses and sort of attribute different things to them than maybe they were. Blizzard made a whole bunch of really great games that we all love. These IPs were fantastic. They were born out of weird circumstances and perfect timing. WoW is a game that on paper should not have done as well as it did, but it captured lightning in a bottle, and it just sort of ran with it ever since. StarCraft and Warcraft universe in general, those were things that were just products of perfect timing and placement. And Blizzard's been around for a long, long time. Look at some of the other games that they've created and where they went from. Look at Lost Vikings. Look at Blackstone. That's where they started. Rock and Roll Racing.
You mean Blackthorn?
Blackthorn, excuse me. Rock and Roll Racing. It's one of those things where I'm trying to think how to phrase it. You're never going to be exactly where you started. And the Blizzard you remember may not be the Blizzard that the next person remembers, because people started with the game company at a different time. We joke a lot about calling them Wrath Babies or BC Babies or whatever. And everybody comes in at a different point. And we talk about this a lot. They all have different views on the game. You know, they have different things that is their version of Warcraft. Just in that little microcosm itself, right? And like Matt said, people come and people go from the company, and things will shift. Stories will change. Priorities will change. But what happens in the boardroom, we're never going to know. We're not going to know all of it. We're always going to be making guesses and you know, taking shots in the dark. But at the end of the day, the thing that I would say is always remember that Blizzard is still a company, no matter who they're associated with, and they still want to make money to keep the lights on. So,
and as far as Dreamhaven's concerned, like I said, I don't have much of an opinion until something actually comes out.
Yeah.
I will say that seeing some of the names that they picked up, I am very interested in seeing what comes out. What do they do next? I am very, once when I hear that they've got a game, I will be looking at it. I am that much I can say. But I don't feel like I can say anything else, because like I said, they don't have anything yet, and that's fine. It's going to take some time. I'm trying to remember the name of the other company that got started a couple years back by a lot of ex-people, including some pretty big names like Ron Pardo. I can't remember the name of the company right now, but they've been out for like 4 years, and I don't think they've announced the game yet. That's just something that happens in this industry. And you just kind of have to live with it. So we'll see when we have something to see. I certainly am interested in what brought this about. But to be honest, when it's Mike Morhaime, I'm not surprised people wanted to go work for him. If you told me, hey, you know, Mike Morhaime's hiring, I'd be interested.
Yeah, and so, I'm sure everybody that sent him email said the same thing. But we don't know enough yet. And it's one of those things where my opinion on Dreamhaven is, I'm curious to see what happens, but I don't know what's going to happen. My opinion is I'm excited for more higher profile, potentially, things to enter into the market. And that's a fancy way of saying that I have no idea what Mike's got planned, and we'll see what happens with Dreamhaven. Anything else to add to that before I move on?
No, I think we're good.
Our next one comes from Titsemi. Question for Blizzard Watch Podcast and or The Queue. From this tweet, and it's a link to Christy Golden's tweet about something's coming, sounds like we're getting a cinematic soon, TM. Who do you think it involves, and how would you respond to the question? We got a Datamined one today. I'm not going to go too far into it. So,
yeah, we're not going to talk about it, but we now know it's not a question. It's not us speculating anymore. We know what it is.
Yep.
So yeah, at this point, I put this in the email and then it got data mined out. So yeah, it happens. Sorry, Tetemi, but you know, at least you know we read your email.
Yep. Our next one. Hello, Blizzard Watchers. So I'm confused about something when it comes to shaman. Shaman? What's the plural? It's shaman, by the way. And their powers. They get to talk to elementals, but also ancestors? Why? Is the ancestor part of shamanism similar to necromancy? What do giant walking masses of elemental fury have to do with my grandpa? You can go for it first. I'll carry up the rear on this one.
I mean, you can make the case that one of the things they've talked about from the earliest days with shaman is the idea that there were actually five elemental forces, not four. And the fifth elemental force was spirit. And that's not too dissimilar from the concept of anima that we're seeing in Shadowlands, which would imply that, yeah, in a way it is necromancy. It's talking to spirit things, whether those spirits are the spirits of dead people who've been released from their bodies or just the raw spirit energy of an entire world. Azeroth, for example, had elementals in conflict. The four elements were all in conflict because the fifth element, the anima, the spirit of the world, was being absorbed into the nascent Titan inside of it so that it could be born. Whereas Draenor, the elements were kind of chill with each other because they weren't doing that. There was plenty of spirit energy to go around. They could all partake in it. And so it's interesting that shamanism from Draenor tended to be a much more, I don't want to say convivial, but I can't think of a better way to put it. It was more cooperative. You'll notice that the shamanistic traditions that are directly from Azeroth tend to be more aggressive. Like, goblins came up with a shaman tradition that was barter-based. The Tonka and the Yangal were very much punch it until it does what you want. Trolls are, you know, were very heavily ancestor-oriented and were also kind of into eating people.
Yeah, a little
bit.
So
they were like a whole thing about, you know, if we eat, you know, we eat them, we get to partake of their spirit. And, you know, that's the only shamanistic tradition on Azeroth that was relatively chill seems to be the Tauren one. And that one was probably a reaction to the fact that the Tonka
Pandaren too.
Yeah, Pandaren are pretty chill about everything, so. But there's a lot of that in Azerothian shamanism where it's interesting that of all the people, Orcish shamanism is fairly cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more about going along and getting along. So I think that there is a connection. I would argue there is. There's a place between the things that we've seen so far. I think that's definitely something that I want to see more of in Shadowlands. But I definitely think there is a connection between the thing where you talk to elements and the thing where you talk to your dead grandpa. Not that you really get to talk to your dead grandpa all that much in shamanism. I haven't seen a lot of, you know, what's grandpa think? but that would be kind of cool, actually.
So I have a lot to say on this, so I apologize in advance. This is one of those hold like carryovers from real life that sort of move into shamanism inside of the game, right? So there were four classical elements in philosophy: earth, air, fire, and water. And I believe it was Aristotle that noticed that something was missing, and that we're talking like back in Grecian days, where what ties them all together. And it was this idea that, yes, these are physical substances, but even when in terms of talking about like gods and goddesses and sort of the manifestation of these sort of primal elemental forces, there was something missing. And that's where they came up with this idea of there being this spirit, this as another entity, this almost like intellectus that sort of tied everything together, that became sort of this binding nature between all four of these generally diametrically opposed forces and elements. If you go back through non-Christian religion, go through Proto-Iranian religion, go through Proto-Grecian religion, go through Proto-Russian religion, you go through a lot of those early Proto-Hindu religions, like go through those early versions of religion, and the same concept is there and present among all of them. There are these primal elemental forces, but there is always this sort of like binding energy between them, this middle point, and that was always referred to as spirit or aether or Ashka. There's a ton of names for it, and this was actually a big part of my life growing up when I studied world religion, was sort of learning around this. And Warcraft takes a bit of all of that in terms of their shamanism. So you'll find sort of this element, and I think the closest to it is, if you were to look at modern religions, there is a form of druidry that is practiced various places across the world right now, including the United States, where there's this idea of not ancestor worship necessarily, but calling upon their memory for guidance. And that's more what shamanism does here. So when you see a shaman interacting with the spirit of their ancestors, it's not necessarily an exact one-to-one conversation. It's sometimes, show me what you remember. Give me the memory of this event. Give me guidance in the form of your wisdom more than anything else. Northrend, and when we did Wrath of the Lich King, showed that probably more than anything else, which I think is really appropriate considering Ner'zhul and the Lich King and all the other stuff. When you're going through the village of the Vrykul, and you're taking that, you get everything together for that potion, and that potion kicks you into the Shadowlands, and you're looking at the history of that place, the echoes of spirit in that moment. You're doing that through shamanistic traditions. You're calling forth the memory of it. And the interesting thing to me, and one of the reasons I've been so excited about Shadowlands, is that it dives headfirst into that. Because now we're starting to see that what we're calling apart, maybe that's the memories that were pulled off from Bastion. Maybe that is the echoes of Ripples of Power from them fighting in Maldraxxus, or the pieces of the anima that were stripped away in Revendreth, or the dreams of those sleeping in the pods in Ardenweald. And it's this wonderful encapsulation of it, because you can draw upon all of that and see exactly how WoW shamanism can integrate or call upon any of that. And Matt's absolutely right that it's, you know, with the elements, there was sort of, they have this level of spirit about them, but they're not the only creatures. They're not the only entities in the entirety of the universe that have it. So if you can tap into it, which we know Shadowlands is pretty much all about, tapping into that anima, reversing the anima drought, and digging through that, that it would make sense that if shaman can pull upon these primal energies to throw fireballs and lightning and healing water out of nothing and make these bargains with these sentient elementals, why couldn't they tap into that anima power, which it permeates the entirety of the universe? Nowhere is a place where it doesn't touch, at least that we know of yet. So I think it's kind of a cool, I don't want to say like it makes shaman a little more important, but it makes me feel a little more attached to the Shadowlands in that regard. I know that's probably a whole lot of information thrown at you all at once, but that's kind of what shaman and WoW do. It's not necessarily calling up grandpa and saying, hey, let's go play catch one last time. It's give me the memory, give me the power of your wisdom in this moment so that I can interact. Yeah, I think that's all I have to say about that. Otherwise I'll be here for several hours. Anything else you want to add to that one?
No, because I think we're pretty much done.
Yeah, unless you want to do the last one before we call it good.
Oh, there's one more? Okay, sure.
Yeah, because we have one more question from Shad. We'll do this real quick before we call it an end for you guys. But question for the Blizzard Watch podcast from Shad. Now a Zandalari who's happy in his new body and wishes reality could be as simple as that for those who are not happy in theirs. Anyway, I was watching the Shadowlands cinematic again when I logged in and I just realized something. Was Bolvar the Lich King longer than Arthas? Was he Lich King longer than Ner'zhul? I think yes to Arthas. Ner'zhul, how long was he sitting on the throne?
Not that long, really. Just for the Warcraft 3.
Yeah, so if he was only there for that one war, which
Arthas
was
there for at least a few years.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly off the top of my head, but...
Yeah, I think there was a couple years for... Because how long was it between... No, yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, Arthas was longer than Ner'zhul, so yes, and Bolvar was longer than Arthas, so yeah, Bolvar had that crown on and sat on that throne longer than both of them, possibly longer than both of them combined.
Yeah, he's been Lich King for quite a few years.
Yeah
absolutely. Yeah, I can't. I don't remember off the top of my head because it's not a one for one thing. It's not literally as many years as it's actually been, but it's not very far off either. So yeah, absolutely. I would say that Bolvar was Lich King longer than anybody.
Yeah, which is interesting, especially moving into Shadowlands, because that means he has more insight than any of the other ones really have. He's had longer to peer into the Shadowlands and dive in, I don't want to say dive into the power of the helm, but understand it more intimately than they had the opportunity to, which I think is kind of cool, actually, because it's a very Bolvar thing to do.
Considering we saw echoes of both Arthas and Nerzul inside the Shards of Frostmourne when we reforged them, if you did the artifact weapon stuff, it's quite possible that the two of them have been hanging around watching what's been going on this whole time. I don't really know. Of the people who've been Lich King, though, I mean, Nerzul was flayed alive and placed into the Helm of Domination. Arthas was actually, he lost his soul to Frostmourne and then became the Lich King. I don't know if he got his soul back at that point. It's quite possible that Arthas had happened to him what we saw happen to Uther in the cinematic. We don't really know. And Bolvar is like the only one who never held Frostmourne.
Yeah.
He never used it.
No, he never did. He never even had a shard of it.
Yeah. Nerzul had it in the cask with him. He actually shoved it out. That's how it got out of there. It got out of the Frozen Throne because he pushed it out in order to have it be found by Arthas. But yeah, Arthas used it and had it the whole time. Uther is the only one who never interacted with it. It was broken Bolvar. Before he... Yeah, Bolvar, sorry. Uther. Uther. That would have been a different Lich King. But yeah, so yeah, Bolvar has been the Lich King longest, and Bolvar is the only one who never touched Frostmourne.
Yeah.
So, but he definitely touched the Helm of Domination, though.
Well, with that, Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/BlizzardWatch. Your continued support means this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Joe. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. Again, if you have an email for the show, you can send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast of Blizzard Watch, or you can go to our Discord server and go to the Patreon Q and podcast questions channel or the Q questions channel and leave a question there, and we'd be happy to answer them on the show. Thank you guys so much for being here. We'll be here again next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.